You back tonight. I open your Bibles if you would. And Martin, good to have you as well. His daughter's been, and still is, needs prayers, really struggling with a lot of things and with cancer. And so remember her in prayer, and we'll lift that up here in just a little bit. First Corinthians chapter number 1. You know, you look at the world and you see in America, you look out and you see all these intellectuals. And they think that they've got all the answers. They scarf and scorn at those who have simple faith in Christ. And they think they're so wise in their own eyes. As Brother Eric pointed out this morning, the root cause is pride. And when a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
That's right. Amen.
And we need to be careful when we don't really even know who we are and what we are. Paul ran into this when he went to Corinth. It was not easy for Paul to go in preaching at Corinth. You'll notice when we get over in chapter 2 and verse number 3 that he said he went in weakness and fear and much trembling. He went in and he saw a vision and went over to Philippi and began to go to different places, and he was thrown in prison and he was beaten and all kinds of things happened to him. But he came for one purpose, and he came to preach. Look, if you would, beginning in verse number 17 of chapter 1. And I'm really going to zero in on just a couple of verses, but I want to read a little bit more context, if you don't mind. Verse number 17, chapter 1, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Now remember that. "To us which are saved, it is a power of God.
Amen.
For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." We're going to come back to that. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now note that. The called are those who by faith trust Christ and are called and brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. To them they receive both the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse number 25. "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now remember that verse. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Going back here, you need to understand that when Paul came into this community, Corinth was a very prosperous city, very commercial, very rich. The east kind of met the west. All kinds of things going on in the city of Corinth. And he came there and he met three groups of people. He was faced by a lot of opposition, a lot of hate. They scorned him and mocked him. You had three groups. Even though here two's mentioned, one is the Jews. The Jews had a problem, is what Brother Eric was talking about this morning. They had pride. They had pride in their heritage. They had pride in the fact that they were a special called out elect group from Abraham, and they were the children of Abraham. And they took pride to that to their detriment. And there's good pride. There's a sense of having a certain amount of honor among yourself. But then there's pride, and they took the pride of who they were. Now, even though they were under the Roman government this time, they still had quite a bit of pride in themselves. Then you had the Greeks. The Greeks also had a lot of pride because they were intellectual. And of course, God used Alexander the Great to come and conquer, be the third conqueror of the world. And he used the domination of the Greek because of their strong language to be able to get their language through the world and bring the Bible into the world and be able to preach the word of God into the world. And then you had the Romans. The Romans were soldier-minded. They were the type that they wanted to conquer. They had an iron fist, and they wanted to conquer and be conquerors. And so they had conquered the world from Greek, and from Greece, rather. And so they were over things at that time when Paul come in here preaching. Now, going back to this, and I want you to understand that it was not easy for Paul. He went in there and he worked all day as a tent maker. After working, he would go out. Now, imagine this. He would go out and preach. And he'd find all kinds of opposition when he would preach. The Jews hated his message because it was a stumbling block to them. We'll talk about it in a moment. The Greeks hated his message because it was foolishness. And the Romans just really didn't care because they were more minded of conquering. But now you look back at the Jews. The Bible says in verse number 22 that the Jews required a sign. You see, the Jews had a history and they looked back. They had a lot of pride in looking back and Moses and all the different ones, and they saw all the miracles that God worked through people like Moses and Elijah and different things that God did and showed signs in the past. Not only did Israel have signs showed to them in the past. At one time, God stopped the sun. And one time, he sent it back 10 degrees. And then we find other things that he did and many different miracles that God did as a sign to Israel. Then we also find that they were looking for signs in the coming of the Messiah. He was to perform all these different signs. And Israel was all about signs. They had pride in themselves. They had pride in their nation, as I said. And so the Messiah, when they come, they expected him to come in conquering and having the ability and miracles to just take over and conquer and set up his kingdom. Now, when Jesus came and he began his ministry, everywhere he went, he did great signs.
Amen.
I mean, my goodness, look, he raised the dead, healed the sick, caused the blind to see, caused the cripple to get up, caused the deaf to hear. He caused, talked to the wind and wave, waves, and they obeyed. I mean, look at all the miracles that he did.
Amen.
Took a few pieces of fish and loaves and fed multitudes, and on and on and on everywhere he went. Great signs. Yet you know what the Jews continue to do? If you be him, show us a sign. Signs, they were never satisfied. They considered signs as the power of God, as a testimony of the power of God. And so Jesus did enough, and even Nicodemus, a Pharisee, came to him at night, and he said, we know that thou art sent of God. No man can do these things except he be sent of God. And so they knew that that power of God was in Jesus. Yet we find that he told them, and if you remember Herod, when he came before Herod, before he went to the cross, Herod was glad that he was coming before him. He wanted to see a sign. But Jesus spoke not a word. But remember what Jesus told them when they said, if you be him, give us a sign. He said the only sign this evil and adulterous generation have is a sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in hearty earth. He said, if you want to see the power of God in signs, it will come in the crucifixion and resurrection. That would be the power of God. Then you had the Greeks. The Greeks wanted wisdom. Now, they had no use at all for supernatural things. They had a strong pride in their traditions. Their language had been uncorrupted. They were very high in arts and poems and literature and things like that. But what they sought after was, they sought after man's wisdom to understand life and the world. They wanted to understand what this life was all about and what the world was all about. So here the Jews was wanting to see the power of God. The Greeks were wanting to see the wisdom and understand it through wisdom. Then the Bible says that there's those that are called in verse 24, but unto them which are called. That's those that had experienced the salvation of God. They come by faith. They didn't come by signs. They didn't come by wisdom. Now listen to me a minute. If you're waiting for God to do some type of miracle in front of you to show you whether you need to be saved or not, you'll die lost. You're saved by faith, not by sight. God's not going to do some miracle. I had some guy one time come to the altar, and I said, are you saved? He said, oh, yes. He said, just like Paul, he said, God sent a great light down from heaven, and he went around me, and nobody around me could see it but me, and he went on to explain the whole Damascus Road. And he pretended that that was his own testimony. And I believe God when he showed me that light. He said, I asked him for a sign from heaven. He gave me the light. I said, friend, if you're going to get saved, you're going to get saved by faith. Not by sight. God doesn't work that way. He works by faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, also you're not going to be saved by trying to understand. In your wisdom, being unsaved, you'll never understand what life's all about nor what God's all about. You'll never understand Jesus. It will be foolishness unto you. Somebody said the other day when I preached on hell, I had told somebody else that heard me preach it. They said, I was talking about by faith. We've got to be saved by God's grace through faith. And they said it can't be that simple. Too simple. Well, you see, where the Jews was missing was they was missing they had to come to God by faith. What the Greeks were missing was they had to come by faith. The Jews was not going to get a sign to see the power of God. Neither were the Greeks going to get an understanding in man's understanding, because God's foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom. They were not going to get it. And Paul, when he came, if you notice, he came, he said, preaching. And he didn't change his message. He preached. Now, they wanted to hear philosophy. They wanted to hear principles. They wanted to hear all these things. But Paul just come preaching a person. The Bible says that he came preaching Christ. Nothing else but Christ. He come preaching Christ, not philosophies, not principles, just that person of Christ. He come preaching Christ crucified. The fact that Jesus was the Son of God. He was example for all mankind. He lived his life here without sin. He went to the cross of Calvary being the Son of Man. As a Son of God, he was offered up upon the cross of Calvary. He died, crucified, was died, buried, rose again. And he's coming back as King of Glory. And Paul preached Jesus and him crucified. He did not change his message to suit the Jews. He did not change his message to suit the Greeks. If anyone's going to get saved, they're going to get saved by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation for those who are saved. And if you're ever going to get saved, it's not going to be that you figure everything out. It's not going to be that God's going to show you some write your name in heaven to let you see that it's your turn. You're going to get saved by believing by faith what the Word of God has said about Jesus Christ. We lift Jesus up in our preaching. We show you the finished work of Jesus Christ. What you do is you just don't believe. Somebody said, well, preacher, I believe. You can believe and die and go to hell. You've got to believe in your heart on Jesus. You got to believe in your heart in Jesus. By that, we mean the finished work of Calvary. What he did of being crucified. Now, notice here a minute though how they received. These two groups could not be any farther apart by what they believed and what they practiced. They only had one thing that united them. Their hatred for the message that Paul was preaching. The Jews hated it. The Greeks hated it. The reason why the Jews hated it, it was a stumbling block. Why was it a stumbling block to the Jews? It's a stumbling block because the Jews, what it meant was that everything they believed in was a failure. That Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the branch of David, that he was not going to come in great glory and take over and conquer and elevate the Jewish nation upon the earth, but that he came and he was put to death and he died. And how was they to explain? And here they had their pride in the Messiah. They had their pride in being the sons of Abraham, looking for the son of David to sit upon the throne of David. And that's where their pride was. And yet here come Jesus. And he died and was buried. Man, it was a stumbling block. That was not the Messiah that they wanted to see. That was not, they expected to see the power of God in signs work through Jesus. Then you have the Greeks. Here, Paul come preaching that Jesus Christ was the Son of God that came down and was born of a virgin, and he lived a life, a sinless life, and he went to the cross of Calvary and died for the sins of the whole world. And for a man to be saved and for a man to be justified with God, he must put his faith and trust in Christ Jesus and his finished work. You know what the Greeks said? Foolishness. How can that be? I've had people come to the altar and they say, preacher, I get saved, but I just don't understand it. It's not understanding and it's believing it. You can't understand everything about it. It goes way beyond what we can understand. But now look back, if you would, a moment and notice that the Bible says in verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In other words, the Jews that came and believed and were saved, the Greeks that came and believed and were saved and put their faith, they found exactly what the other group was looking for. The Jews, when they put their faith and trust in Christ, they found the power of God. They found the power of God to come in and change a life and save a soul and live within them and to change a man and make him a new creature. They saw the power of God, how that he would take and he could take an old wretched man and he could change that man. and change his heart and change his attitude. And so therefore, everything the other Jews were doing, rejecting the message of Jesus, they missed. And the people who came to Jesus found the very thing that they were looking for. They found a sign of the power of God. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I found the power of God in the message of Jesus Christ. I found it wasn't my own works. It wasn't my own ability. And I found that it wasn't God. I didn't hear trumpets. I didn't see lights. All I did was believe. Amen. And when I believed upon him and called upon him, the love of God shed abroad in my heart when the Holy Spirit of God came and born me again. I've never been the same since. He's changed me. And boy, throughout the years, I've seen God come into people's lives. I've seen people, you know, a lot of times I've talked about all these rehabs and all these addictions and so forth. I still believe, and nobody can change my mind. I believe it's not 12 steps. I don't believe it's 10 steps. I believe it's one step. Now, I believe if you come to the cross of Calvary, God can cure you of anything that you've got going on. You know why? I've seen God take people who were sold out to alcohol and clean them up and never again drink another drop. I've seen God come with drug addicts that was just so hooked on drugs and never again another drug. I've seen God come and change somebody else's life. And all through the New Testament, we found sinners coming to God and being changed. Amen. The man at the tombs was changed. Nobody could get around him, cutting himself, a threat, breaking chains, and they found him sitting in his right mind, clothed, as he'd been running around naked. You know why? That's a power of God. You know how it gets? You know how we see the power of God? Through faith. Not through signs, but through faith. Not only that, but wisdom. Now, the Greeks wanted to understand what life was all about. They wanted to understand the mysteries of this world. The Bible says, Paul says in verse number 2, over there in chapter 2, he said, "For I determined..." In other words, he made a determination. He decided with conviction that he knew what he believed. He knew whom he believed. He knew what he thought. And therefore, what he did was he took and he acted upon that and he spoke about that. It was not up for debate. He had made a decision for himself what he was going to believe. Now, I'm so glad the day that I believed. You know, I said this before, and I'll probably say something about it at Darlene's funeral. But the most important thing in her life, she told me at the hospital at 8 years old, was when she believed upon Jesus. And she said, "I know beyond a shadow of doubt I was saved at 8 years old when I trusted him." No greater thing could a person have done than to do that. And so here we find that she made a decision to believe. I made a decision to believe. Not in here, but in my heart. I believe when a person gets saved and believes in Jesus in his heart, I believe it's unchangeable. I believe you can drop. I believe you can drop out of the will of God and lose fellowship with God and do all those things. But I've never in my life got to the point where I quit believing Jesus. I still believe as strong in the cross of Calvary. I believe it's as real as anything else in life. When I talk about Jesus, I could talk about Junior over here, and Jesus is just as real as Junior is. Calvary is just as real as Burnside. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus is just the same as someone birth in a natural birth to me. How did he rise from the dead? And how did all those things? It's beyond my understanding. But now look here. He said, look back in verse 2. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you." In other words, he said, "I didn't come with big speech. I didn't come with philosophies. I didn't come try to impress you with my words. I just preached Jesus and him crucified. He said, that's what I believe. That's what I know. Now I'm going to ask you something. Do you know that? Are you convinced that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. That he died upon the cross of Calvary? Have you come to that place in your life where you've received him as your Lord and Savior? Has he showed you his power in changing your heart and coming and living within you? Well, Paul said to know Jesus. And by the way, nothing can replace a cross. Morality cannot place a cross. I talk to so many people, preacher, I'm trying to straighten my life up. So you die and go to hell, straighten your life up. That's not the answer. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm trying to learn more about theology. Theology is not a substitute for the cross. Some people said, well, I'm looking to science, try to figure it all out. Science will never be a substitute for the cross. Amen. Only the cross. And to know Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. When you get to know Jesus and him crucified, Paul preached Jesus. When you get to know Jesus, then you get to know what a man is supposed to be in God's eyes. Jesus was a perfect man.
Yes,
he was the only perfect man.
Amen.
Jesus lived his life without sin. You know what God expects out of you? To live your life without sin. You say, preacher, I can't. Well, when you get to know Jesus, you get to know what man ought to be. But when you get to know Jesus, you also get to know what man is not. And when you look at Jesus, and you get to know Jesus and the preaching of Jesus, then you realize that Jesus was what God, he pleased God in all aspects of his life. Everything he did, his Father was pleased. And therefore, when he went through the life, he was the only man. You know, some of them was taking their children and throwing them to Moloch one time in the fire, sacrificing their children to please God. No other sacrifice would have been acceptable to God but by a perfect human being.
Right.
And Jesus was the only one that was the only man that was all that a man was to be. And therefore, when he went and presented himself as a sacrifice, a propitiation, God accepted him because he was what man ought to have been.
That's right.
And then we look, not only when we see Jesus and know Jesus, we know man, but we also know God. We know what God expects. Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. We've seen someone who loved mankind, who come to save sinners, who come to self-sacrifice and give himself for the sins of the world. We see someone who so loved the world. And he didn't love just the best people of the world, he loved them all. Sometimes you look at people, criminals out there doing heinous things, but Jesus loved them too. He died for them, he won't see them saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. When you see Jesus and get to know Jesus, you get to know God. You get to know his love. You also get to know the fact that he's holy and just. And you also get to know the fact that he holds us accountable for our sin. He cannot look upon sin, and therefore he judges sin. The name Jehovah means that God loves sinners, but he also hates sin. And he judges sin. But he also made a way that sinners might be saved. And so when you get to know Jesus, you get to know God in his mercy and his grace. But you also get to know God in his holiness and judgment. Then when you get to know God, Jesus, you get to know man for who and what we are. What are we? We're sinners. Why do we do what we do? We're sinners. saved by the grace of God. Not our own merits, but we're sinners saved by God's grace. And so what we do is we realize that we have come short of the glory of God. We've come short of what God expected us to be. When God created mankind, he put them in a place without sin, and yet man sinned. So what happens is, through Jesus Christ, we find the answer to man's sin. Now stay with me a minute. And so what happens is this. When we find the answer to man's sin, we find that Jesus came and he died for our sins, that we through him might be saved. Then we begin to understand. Now remember, the Greeks, they sought after wisdom. The wisdom they wanted to understand life, and they wanted to understand the world and the issues of life. So catch this a minute. When you get saved to know Jesus, then all of a sudden you get wisdom of God that you never had to understand what life is all about. Life is that God wants you to glorify him. He wants everybody that he created to glorify him. Your chief end in life is to glorify God. Somebody said, "Preacher, what's my purpose in life?" I believe my purpose in life is to be a doctor. No, your purpose in life is glorify God. You say, "Well, I believe my purpose in life is to be a farmer." No, your purpose in life is to glorify God. You say, "Well, I think my purpose in life is to be a good mother or a good father." No, your purpose in life is to glorify God. Now, you glorify God through being a good mother and being a good father and all those other things, but God wants you to give him his glory. But what you do is you begin to understand the life and what life is all about. Because the world, all these geniuses in Harvard and all these other, and by the way, when those colleges were Yale and Harvard and stuff, you know what they were? What were they? Yeah, they were seminaries to train preachers. Boy, they sure have come a long way. That's a falling away we was talking about this morning, amen? Now get this a minute. All those geniuses up there still trying to figure out what life's all about. We've got it figured out. I know where I came from. They're still trying to find my Uncle Monkey. They're still trying to find evidence of where I come from. I got it all figured out. I came from God. Amen. God created me. When he allowed my mom and dad to have me, I was his heritage. He gave it on loan to them. And they were given the responsibility to raise me in nurture and admonition of God. But I know where I came from. I came from God. I don't have to know anymore. I don't worry about a Big Bang Theory. I don't worry about monkeys. I don't worry about those things. Amen. I don't worry about nothing like that because I've got it all figured out. What wisdom a man can't do, God's wisdom's already given me. And I know for a fact where I came from. Amen. And I learned that through Jesus. I know why I'm here. People go through life all their life and they don't understand. They say, "Preacher, I just don't understand life." And some people says this, they use this for excuse. "I don't understand it. If God's real, why does he allow people to suffer?" Well, when you understand sin, then you understand suffering. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. And so therefore, suffering came because of man's sin. And so therefore, I understand life, and I understand through Jesus Christ that life is only a temporary thing. And through this life, God has given us, and he requires certain things of us, and he instructs us to do certain things, and as we walk through this life. But I've got it figured out even further. Then we get to the end of life, and by the way, it's everyone's appointment here, and that is appointment to die. We're going to die. And some of these geniuses in Harvard are still trying to figure out what happens when we die. I've got it all figured out. When we die, if you're saved, you go to be with your soul goes to be in the presence of Jesus. Your body goes back to the grave, waiting for the resurrection. And if you're lost, your soul goes down to Hades in hell and center of the earth, and your body goes to a grave, waiting for the resurrection of the damned. You know how I know that? Jesus told me. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and Jesus crucified, I've seen the mysteries of life and death. I've got it all figured out. Now, the Greeks rejected Paul's message because it was foolishness, because they wanted wisdom about life and death and the world. I see it. But I see it through Jesus. I not only received the power of God when I got saved, I received the wisdom of God. And so therefore, these fools up there in Harvard and these places are still trying to look for answers. They're rejecting the place where they can find the answer. The place to find the answer to the mysteries of life in this world is Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not worried about climate change. It's going to change. But when it does, it's going to explode in a ball of fire. Who said so? Peter did. 2 Peter chapter 3. He's not going to destroy it with flood. And somebody said, well, I don't believe in the flood. It don't matter if you believe in it or not.
Right.
And also, the world's going to explode in fire. What's going to happen? He's going to destroy this old world, and he's going to create a new heaven and earth. You really believe that? I do.
Right.
You know why? I got rid of that old foolishness. Now I have the wisdom of God.
Amen.
And see, all they had to do, Jews had to do to see the power of God was not ask for signs and miracles, but put their faith in Christ. And then the power of God was evident in their life. And all they had to do if they were a Greek is to put their faith in Christ, and they didn't have to search for all the answers in this world, but when they found Christ, they found the answers. Not only that, but they also, when they found Christ, they found answer to the mysteries that this world has got locked up. This book tells us. And so therefore, Paul said, he said in verse number 2, he said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because through him is where all the answers come. And unless a person puts their faith in Christ, they'll never find the answers they're looking for. My point tonight in the message is this. Everything that the world is searching for is found in Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, I just want to be, who was talking about millionaire this morning? Was that you? I just want to be a millionaire so I could be happy. A lot of millionaires are not happy. Somebody said, well, preacher, how do we find joy? Jesus. Joy unspeakable. Oh, I'm in the search of this world to find peace. All these liberated people say, we want world peace. Well, I found the Prince of Peace. I found a peace that passes all understanding, a peace I can have in the midst of the storm, and I found the one that one of these days is going to bring world peace, peace on earth, goodwill to man. And see, my point being is this, all these people wrapped up in their wisdom is searching for all these things. And Paul said, listen, I didn't come preaching nothing else. I didn't debate on them philosophies. I didn't debate on them histories. And I didn't debate on them culture. I just preached Jesus and him crucified. Because when you find Jesus, you find everything in life that you're looking for. And it's all wrapped up right in him.
Thank God to be him. And Paul said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but just in the power of God. Amen. Let's stand tonight.
Page 385.
I'm so glad I found Jesus. And you know what? You know what finding Jesus does? It gives you the answers of life. Somebody said, "Preacher, are you okay? Your sister died, and I understand the affections, and I understand the missing and all those things that you have, and I understand things that Buffy go through as her daughter and different ones. I understand those things that we have here and missing them." But you know what? When you know Jesus, and if she knew Jesus, and I told her, I said, "Darling, if that's true and you're saved, you're a winner either way. Because if God takes you on, everything will be fine." You know how I know that? Because he said so. And so I'm so glad that I can have that assurance. I don't have to question. I know for a fact. I am determined. If she was saved, she's in the presence of Jesus right now.
Amen.
And you know what? I don't walk this life worrying about every breath I take, what's going to happen, what tomorrow's going to bring. I know who holds tomorrow. I know what he's promised me. And I know when I depart this life, I know where I'm going. So thank God that I found all the wisdom I needed when I found Jesus. Amen. So whenever I want to preach, I don't want to change the message. I just want to preach Jesus.
Amen.
You want to know your answer? Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's sing, brother.